guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Oh my goodness. Y'all are probably wondering how long it took me to put that together. 43 hours, because I'm not real great on a computer, but I felt like it was worth it for that 18, 20 seconds or so. No, thank you, Eric, for the video. Trust me, if you've ever, you know, kind of gone through a surgery, you know that the last thing you feel like is like flexing, so. But I am so glad to be back. Man, it is so good to see you guys. So good to see y'all's wonderful faces. Man, I love y'all so much. It is so awesome to be home and be back with you guys. So I appreciate you. The support for Shelly and I and our family has absolutely been amazing. Last you saw me was before April started. And trust me, I'm here to tell you that as a pastor, the last thing in the world that you want to miss is the month of Easter Sunday. But God had a plan that He didn't consult me about. You know, I would have said, Lord, let's do this, but let's put this off a little bit. And so one Sunday, everything was normal. Everything was good. I came back, had a cardiology appointment because I'd had a little bit of chest pain. I'll tell you more next week because we've got a lot of ground to cover. But she had told me basically, hey, I need you to go to the emergency room. So that's what I did. I'm glad I listened because it found out that I had a lot of blockage that I didn't realize. I feel like I'm flowing all the time, you know, no problems. But they said there was quite a bit of blockage in my heart, veins and that kind of thing. So all said and done, we've got that fixed. Did an open heart surgery. I've got one of the best scars in the entire church. I hate to be bragging about that. Me and Frank battling it out on which one's got to have the better scar. But, I tell you what, I had planned on coming in a little later, but, man, I heard the songs being sung by our worship team, and I just thought, man, I have missed so much being here with you guys. And I want to make sure that I've got voice, but I just can't stay in the church or stay in the office while the church is happening and while the worship is going on, and I just had to come in here and, I mean, goodness of God, it hit pretty hard today, and it is a good thing, and sometimes it is good to be reminded that every single day, we don't live because of our health, we don't live because of our goodness, but we live because of the goodness of God. And I'm here today with you guys, so incredibly grateful for my church family. I have some of my, you know, my literal family that has been here. They have been amazing. If they are watching later or whatever, of course, I love you guys. Y'all are incredible, and y'all have shown me the love of God all of my life. But I tell you that being here and being 7 hours away from the closest family member, I have known the love of God personally through you guys' touch. This is a family, and I'm incredibly grateful to be a part of it. So can you give your guys a hand, yourselves a hand, you guys? Thank you. Thank you for the way that you've supported us and been with us. Now, I will tell you, I've been online, and I've enjoyed so much what was going on last week, and then some videos and pictures and stuff. And I just have to share a few pictures with you guys from Easter Sunday. So let's do that real quickly. Of course, Eric, and I've got to say, Eric basically just stepped right in, he and Peter together, but a lot of that fell on Eric, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that I've had to do. And it's an interesting thing that God has kind of been putting on my heart that it may be that ultimately I'd have to kind of just miss a Sunday and be gone a couple of Sundays in a row because something had happened. My thought was it may be some of my family as they get a little older. Turns out it was me. And so I literally called Eric on Friday and I said, hey, I can't be there on Sunday. I'm getting admitted to the hospital and this is what's going on. And he said, don't worry about it. We've got it. And those of you who have been here over the last 3 Sundays, you know very clearly this church is not built on any one person. This church is built on the Lord, and God's presence was here when I was gone, and when some of the things that I normally do didn't get done, God's presence was still here in a very, very powerful and tangible way. And that is because you guys are the church. I am not the church, and I'm not the leader of this church. It is God that leads this church. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is His church and our church. Amen? And so don't ever forget that. And if we can learn anything taking this away, never forget that when maybe some of the things that I would normally do as the pastor and the paid staff of this church didn't get done, God was still here showing up in powerful ways. And so it's never about us. It is always, always, and may it always be about Him. Amen? All right, so let's check out a couple of Easter pictures. Oh, I guess I already started that. Let's keep going, though. Wasn't that great last week? Wasn't that so good? Phenomenal. And I was just watching and wishing that I could have participated in that as we were watching online, but tears in my eyes, and I saw this image just kind of as a fleeting image, and I thought, my goodness, I hope that Scott pans back to that and shows that, and sure enough, that came through, and as it was lit up, it was just a reminder that every single one of us has something that we bring in all the time. And the cross is always there for us anytime we need to turn that over to Him. What a beautiful thing. Wasn't that awesome? Amen? Two handsome guys showed up. I don't know what that's about. No, these guys, great job, because they had to do a lot of different things in between to bring the cross down from the first service and then in the second service and make sure that all that was happening so you guys could participate in that meaningful time that we were sharing, that word picture and illustration of nailing ourselves and our sins to the cross along with Christ and being raised to newness of life. So thank you, Carlos, and thank you, Jesus. Great job, you guys. Was that me? Asking for a friend. Was that me? Gigi and some of her family here. We just grabbed a couple of pictures of some of our beautiful church family and their time out there as some of the time was getting done around the Easter egg hunt. Let's check it out. Larry and Simona and their wonderful kids and family right there doing that. And let's go to our next slide. Wasn't that great? Did you guys see that? It was just so cool. So many kids, just beautiful, beautiful. I saw a picture and an image, and it was just like everywhere you look, there were kids running around. I saw a couple of y'all stealing Easter eggs from kids. Y'all need to really get serious about your Christian faith. But beautiful Holly and her close friend as well. Let's keep moving here. The dolphins. Look at y'all. Take a picture. Take a picture, Sabrina. Take a picture. You made the big screen. Oh, no, you didn't. Spend time with your family, Sabrina. That's all I'm saying. Steven, all of you guys. Beautiful picture of a goat. So now it's going to be like that. I guess that didn't last very long. That forgiveness that y'all had flowing for me for a while was, you know, kind of over quickly. No, that's, of course, Peter and Kyra and Zuri and, of course, Patricia. Wonderful job, each and every one of them participating and doing great things. Peter did a phenomenal job speaking. And, of course, Patricia is always an absolute blessing leading us in worship. And, you know, there's actually five in that picture. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Can't wait. Another little girl is in that picture. You just got to look a little closer. Anyway, but yes, it was absolutely a blessing. Naeem, the worship team, all of you guys. And of course, it never goes without you. This is a church family, and there's always room for one more. And we are people just like each and every one of us, just normal, everyday people. But we become a great thing whenever we come together. Amen? Speaking of... I want to just mention this before I forget it. One of the people in the church that has maybe some of the best-looking arms in the church is heading to Seattle for a bodybuilding competition, Miss Donna. I love mentioning you, though, because one of the things that I've noticed is that you are connected to almost everybody in this church family and that you have made it your, you know, point a point to go and build a relationship with each and every one. And we're all rooting for you. We want to be praying for her as she travels. We want to be praying that as she competes in Seattle, she's going to be leaving on Wednesday, competing this weekend. And we just want you to do your best. But we know no matter what, we are praying for you, lifting you up, loving you, and supporting you. And thank you for all you do around here. Okay, so I'll just tell you guys real quickly about me. I'll share a little bit more later next week. So I'm doing really well. I'm getting around pretty well. I'm trying to milk it for every chance I get. Oh, can you reach that? And then when Shelly looks at me like, what? I'm like, ah. So, you know, pray for our marriage to make it. No, seriously, my daughter Tori has spent, she's going to end up spending about 6 or 7 weeks down here, left Michigan to come and be down here to be with me. And anytime that Shelly has to go to work, Tori is there. And she has been a blessing not only to me, but to Shelly, and it's been amazing. So, Tori, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Love you so much, sweetie. And I will say, I am getting better. Tori is walking me around the neighborhood. I usually take about 30 to 40 minute walks these days, sometimes twice a day. So I'm getting up and getting out. And if I could get up and get out that long, I knew I could get up and get here and preach and speak to you guys. So I'm excited to be able to be back with you. I will tell you that you might not see me at the end of service because I may just be stepping out a little bit close, because here's the problem. I know that not everybody is cool like I am and has had an open heart surgery, okay? But if you have had an open heart surgery, here's the problem. Your pain is usually pretty controlled. It's about a 2, maybe a 1 right now, you know, on the scale of 1 to 10. You know that thing that you've seen on the happy face and the really sad face with a tear? My pain right now is about a 1 or less. I'm not on pain meds or anything. Everything's totally fine. But if I laugh, or if I cough, it shoots up to about a 7 or 8 right about now. And God help me, I have not had to sneeze ever since I got out of the hospital. When that happens, you may hear that, you know, all the way around. You may, you know, that kind of thing. So I have no idea what that's going to feel like, but I know it can't feel good. So because of that, I'm trying to be real careful, make sure that I don't get sick, don't get any kind of congestion or cough that might really be painful in my particular circumstance. So if you don't catch me after service, you will in the next 2 weeks, I can almost assure you, okay? And again, I tell you guys, thank you so much for your prayers and all of that that you have done to just show love and support to me. So thank you so much. Okay. All right. Teenagers. I know teenagers and kids are getting dismissed. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you. God bless you guys. And you guys can all be dismissed. Okay. Thank you. Now, if you do have your Bibles, if you can give me just a little bit of grace, I gave Paul the wrong scripture. What do you want from a guy like me? Oh, yeah, I'm going to use it as much as I can, right? So ultimately, what happened for me is as I had intended for the printout to have James chapter 1. So if you do have your scriptures with you, if you do have your Bible apps with you, can you turn to James chapter 1? I won't take time to read it because a lot of the message that I'm going to be preaching is going to be reiterating those things. But James chapter 1, and again, let me be very clear, that was all of my fault. I usually print that up and hand it off to Paul or Tiffany or Eric or Peter or any of those that do the reading, and today I handed him the wrong passage, so I apologize. But James chapter 1 is where I'm going to be speaking. And you know, it's an interesting thing. I've been in ministry for a number of years now, and I know that marriages and relationships are some of the things that bring us the most joy. And yet they also can bring us some of the most pain, be some of the most difficult things in our lives. And so what I want to do, I want over the next 2 weeks to talk a little bit more about being better together, because I genuinely do believe that we are better together. And Ecclesiastes has been a passage of scripture that we have talked a lot about. Today, I just want to kind of share those things that are going to be shared with you the communicate to connect, and I want to talk about that particular part of communication and what that looks like. We may cover most of the things that we're planning on covering. We may have to fast forward a little bit because I do want to honor your time. But as you look at this passage of scripture, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27 is where I'm going to be speaking and referring to. And then it talks about in Ecclesiastes how two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. And as you go down a little bit, it says, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord, that means that you and your relationship and God included in that relationship is that threefold cord that is not easily broken. It is that thing that gives extra strength. And so I encourage you, and I encourage every single person that I do any kind of marriage counseling with, that the best thing I can recommend for you to do is for both of you to keep pursuing constantly the God that you love and that you serve. Because if you will become a better Christian, you will become a better wife or husband or vice versa, whichever it is. And so ultimately, we cannot leave God out of our relationships and expect them to be anything other than what comes natural and getting what comes naturally. You guys with me? Amen? Can I get an amen? All right, so let's go on as we look here to this next passage of scripture, or pardon me, this next slide. It says, so much of the quality of our life is determined by the stories we tell ourselves. So you better make sure you're telling yourself the right one. Here's what I mean by that. Ultimately, there are a lot of things that get thrown our way. And I just, if you may allow me today, this will not be every single illustration from this point forward in my life. But the truth of the matter is that whenever they discharged me from the hospital, a lot of thoughts were running through my mind. And I thought to myself, I have an opportunity to be better than I was from this day forward. I'm reminded of the fact that not every single day is guaranteed. So I have to start talking to myself and deciding what the next few phases of my life begin to look like, right? And if I tell myself, oh, well, I've had a heart surgery, and so I got to take it easy, I got to be careful, and I can't do any of these things that I wanted to do. I can't go hiking with my daughters, and I can't do all of these things, and I can't work out because that's going to hurt my chest and all that, you know, on and on and on and on and on. This is the story that I'm telling myself. How many of you know my life is going to change pretty dramatically at that point? And probably not for the better. But if I begin to tell myself, look, God clearly has been at work, and I'll talk more about that next week, but God clearly has been at work, so he still has something for you to do here. So knowing that not every day is promised, what will you do, and how much focus do you need to bring to that to make sure that every single day, however many that is, that every one of them counts for your family, for my faith, for my calling, for the church family, on and on and on down the line. If I'm telling myself that story, it looks dramatically different, doesn't it? So here's the question I have for you. When it's just you and it's just going on in here, what stories are you telling yourself? And are you telling yourselves the right story? The right kind of story that pushes you to be the best that you can be? Or is it something that pulls you down and drags you down? Now, this is also very important in our relationships. If you go to this next slide, I changed only that. The quality of our relationships are often determined by the stories that we tell ourselves. So you had better make sure that you're telling yourself the right one. Now, here's what I mean. If you're a person who has let things pile up and build up a wall between you and your spouse, or you and your children, or you and your extended family, I could go on and on, friends, coworkers, etc. If you're constantly telling yourself a different story than one that is accurate, you're living a life that isn't based on truth but on a lie. If you're with me, can you give me an amen? Amen? So what we have to do is we have to be very, very careful that we are telling ourselves the truth, even if it's difficult, and that we are hearing God's voice above our feelings, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But ultimately, the quality of your relationships, almost every one of them, depends in some small way, at least, on the conversation that you're having that nobody else gets in on. Are y'all with me? Amen? Okay, so let's keep going here. And I can already tell you that I'm not going to finish everything that I had planned. We'll catch it next week. That's part of why I do two, you know, these services and sermons that, you know, connect to each other. But here's what I want you to understand. This is clearly important. Here's what the Lord says in James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks he's religious and he doesn't bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is, what was the last word? Worthless. So what he's saying is, if all of the communication, which is honestly most of the way that we are ever going to connect with people, we connect with them by the words that we say, with the tone of voice, with the way that we interact with them bodily, etc. Those are the ways that we communicate our feelings towards other people. And if we never work to control our tongue, if we never look at this as something that is my responsibility to make sure that I'm communicating love and I'm speaking life instead of speaking destruction into people's lives. And I'm not just like talking about like in a spiritual sense, but man, words can be incredibly destructive. And if we're not being very careful, if we have not decided that it is my job and my responsibility to bridle my tongue and to glorify God with all of my body, including that one little thing that can get away from us so easily, if we've not dedicated that to us, the Lord's own word says that our religion is worthless. So don't get it twisted. He takes it seriously. Your communication, my communication, needs to be something that honors God and speaks life. Now let's keep moving here as we do. And when we do, we see this big idea, and I want to talk a little bit about this and just kind of go through a few things about it. So we communicate to connect first before moving to any other agenda that you may have. Now, let me just go a little deeper on that in just the next slide here. I put some things at the bottom. That means to defend, to download, or to discipline, your first responsibility is to connect, and then these other things. Here's what I mean. Can we say the big idea first, and then I'll just share a little bit about what I'm talking about? On the count of three, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Communicate to connect first before moving to any other agenda that you may have. Here's what I mean. Have you ever walked into the door and you've been thinking about it all day? I need to download certain things to my kids. I need to tell them what they should have already done, but now they got to make sure and do it. That's a download. You have a conversation with somebody and they're somewhat making you feel attacked. Before you ever begin to defend yourself, it's good to start with connecting first. Before you ever look at your children and say, you got to stop that. I'm not saying that you should always, you know, come here, let me hug you. Now stop it, you're in trouble, you're grounded. No, it's not like that. But ultimately, you have to look to connect first because it is so incredibly important. And it's not just me that's saying this. It's not just my opinion or my thoughts. Psychology Today has an article that I referenced in previous messages. It says why first and last impressions are so important. It says mastering first impressions and lasting connections in meetings. It goes on. It says the first 5 minutes of a meeting are crucial to set the tone for the entire interaction. According to an article by Elizabeth Doty, Strategy and Business, those opening moments provide an opportunity to create alignment, set expectations, and establish a positive emotional climate. Let me ask you a question. If you can do that at work by connecting first, do you think it works at home, yes or no? Yeah, clearly. It's even easier to do at home, but you have to be more intentional at home because you've been driving home. You're like, man, if I don't tell them, I might forget. If I don't tell them what they did wrong or, you know, download this information to make sure that they know what the to-do list is or what's happening. And so what happens is we become roommates. We become roommates, people who share the same space but never actually, what? Connect. You connect first. You connect first because that is the most important. And here's what I want to share with you. This is incredibly important for us to understand that ultimately the most important thing about communication is that they are the most important thing. The most important thing about communication is that they understand when they have left that conversation that they have great value to you. If you haven't done that, then you haven't truly done the right things in your communication. Now, you may be saying, Randy, that may be working for you because, you know, you pastors, you never have arguments with your wives. That's a good one. It's a really good one. Yeah, in my house, very easy to devolve and get to the place where we want to argue. And in the midst of that, you know what I want to do? I don't want to connect. I want to defend myself. I want to say why she's wrong and why I'm right. Or why she's mistaken and I was still right, right? You know, no, you just have it wrong. You didn't understand what I was trying to do, so let me just defend myself, right? And so if that is my main goal, how many of you understand connection's just not going to happen? It's not. So you have to connect and say, listen, hey, listen, before we go any further, I want you to know that my intentions were good. We can talk about what that looks like, but please don't get anything twisted here. I love you. I want you to understand, like, before we go any further, I love you. Let's get it worked out. We're not on the same page, but we can get there if we will just work at this. And I want to work at this. I want to be willing to change at this. Now, that's the idea that you need to be portraying and maybe even the words that you need to be saying. Okay, so I am having a little bit of stuff going on my static because I don't normally sit, so I apologize if y'all are hearing that. But very quickly, it's incredibly important to understand. And I want to share a couple of keys to communication and talk a little bit more from James. I'm not going to be able to cover everything because my time is almost gone already. But here's three keys to communication. You keep the main thing, and never, ever let that go no matter what happens. How many of you have heard the passage of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 4 that says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath? How many of you have heard that? Why? Why is it that God's word already knows what psychology is just now beginning to tell us, that those last impressions are incredibly important? And how many of you know, I mean, I have heard of people who have once told me about this happening in their life, that they get in an argument, they go to bed angry, the next day you're still not over it, neither are they. And you lose day or 2 days or 3 days or even most of a week barely talking to each other and definitely not connecting with each other. Like I said, I've heard of that happening. That's all I'm saying, right? Now all of y'all are like, you know, looking around like, you know, no idea what he's talking about. Some of y'all are like, okay. I'm just saying, God's word knows what it's doing when he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because it turns into something bigger than it had to be. And even if it can't be resolved, you know what can always be remembered? Even if it can't be resolved, you know what is incredibly important to make sure that they remember? We're not on the same page, but I love you. And this is the most important thing to me. You're my daughter. You're my son. I want you to know how important you are to me. You've said things that have hurt me. I've said things that have hurt you. Just know that all of those things, they don't matter nearly as much compared to the love that I have for you. Connecting in the midst of the communication. You see what I'm saying? So it's incredibly important that the main thing is connecting in that relationship. If you miss that, even if you do everything else right, you've missed the whole point. Okay, so let's keep going here. This other key, seek first to understand and then to be understood. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is a problem area for me. Because I have always felt like, well, if I could just explain where I'm coming from, then we'll be on the same page. But here's what I know. As the God who makes me attracted to my opposite and makes you attracted to your opposite, who gives you a child who is not like you in personality or makeup. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Like, you're like, where did this child come from? I have no idea. Timu, maybe? I don't know. Something's wrong. When that happens and it doesn't match, God's doing something in you and for you. God's doing something in them and for them that will benefit by being better together. But it means more patience and more intentionality on being connected than ever before. And if you can't do that, then relationships begin to drift. Walls begin to be built, and suddenly the most important people in your life are not even in your life. Let's go to our next slide, and I think this is incredibly important. I'm going to kind of bring this to a close here, talk about some big questions and some I apply by moments before we go. But I want you to know that this verse of scripture changed my life, and I'll tell you how. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for the anger of man does not produce the righteous life that God requires. Now, I didn't quote it perfectly, but I quoted it perfectly, or close to perfectly, from the King James Version. And here's the reason I did that, because my dad came up quoting and preaching from the King James Version. And this verse of scripture is one when he became a pastor that he said, I'm going to become a pastor, but I have a temper that I can't control. There are a lot of reasons that my dad was very, very angry, and a lot of things that were happening in his life that were out of his control that could have led him in a very, very different direction in his life. A dad that was just constantly chasing other women, had nothing to do with his family, wanted to love her family just so much. It could have literally crippled my dad. He could have easily become a very, very different man. He decided, I have to control my temper if I'm ever going to be what God wants me to be. How can I do that? I began to feel angry. I'm going to quote James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because the anger of man does not produce the righteous life that God requires. Now, let me ask you a question. How did this change my life? Because it changed my dad's life, and he's the man who raised me. You see? Now, it's never too late to be the first, but praise God if you're the second or the third, because you have been a person who's lived in the goodness of God that has changed a life that could have went in a very, very different direction, and yet it did not, because God saved not only them, but their children from that. For most of you, the best thing I can do is not just tell you how to maybe improve and get closer to God, but how to be a better mother or a father. And so as we look at James chapter 1, and we realize that I've got to connect to God's power to prevent myself from being that person where my communication is like the reckless words that pierce like a sword, but instead I want to be a man who has the tongue of the wise, bringing healing and life to my kids and to my family and to my friends and to my church. How does that happen? It doesn't happen because I'm good. It happens because I'm tapped into the good God who wants good things for his children, but we have to bring him into these decisions and choices that we make. Now, next week, I'll talk more about what that looks like. But very quickly, let's do a couple of big questions and how communication may be happening in your life and maybe not in the best way possible. We'll talk more next week about that, specifically focusing on conflict. So let's do this on our big questions. In a close relationship, you may or may not know this, but in a close relationship, you being quiet and withdrawing is not seen as you being noble. It's seen as hostility. That's how it's interpreted by most people. You have to be very careful with your children and with others that you are not perceived as hostile, but instead as a person who loves them. And then do you consistently think in that positive mindset? What is the inner dialogue that's going on? Is it consistently good or is it negative? Is it positive about your relationships and the people you love? Or is it instead more negative than you want? Or is it way negative? You have to be honest, because until you begin to tell yourself a different story in here, your life will not change out here in the real world. And it's your default to understand the other person or to make sure that you're understood. This is mine. I'm hand up, raising it, and saying, this is my area. I need to listen and understand more and cease to like try to be understood first. So it's incredibly important for us to know that our communication can bring life, or it can bring hurt and pain, and that's not what we want. Especially as we know that God wants our tongues to be those things that show that we're not worthless in our religion, but instead that we are dedicated to making sure that he is being glorified, not just in our bodies, but also with our mouths and our minds. Here's how you apply this message very quickly. What do you need to accept your part in as one who sees the need for change? If you already see the need for change, then now is your time to act on that. What is one thing that you can start doing between now and next Sunday that helps you to get on this path and begins to change your communication to bringing healing and life instead of hurt and destruction? And then you clarify your main thing in one of your struggling relationships. Be that person that says, wherever we are off the same page does not matter, because the most important thing is you are one of the most important things in my life. Don't get it twisted. Just because we're in a rough patch doesn't mean that we won't get it fixed and we won't get it figured out. But just know that even if I'm part of the problem or even most of the problem, I want to fix it because you are incredibly important and valuable to me. If you can't reach your kids, try that and see if they don't slow down, because I promise you they will. That means maybe you apologize, maybe you move on, maybe you write a note, maybe you make time in your busy schedule to put the most important thing as the most important thing, and you don't ever, ever let that go. So in your communication, I hope that you will seek to connect, because lives can be changed, paths can be changed and altered, hurts can be healed, and new directions can be forged if we give our communication to God and ask him to help us to connect with the important people in our lives.